Hey, thank you, Steve. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. We are on the SurviveToThrive.net network tonight. Listen, do check out Inner Health. And listen, we've got to keep ourselves strong in the days that we're living in. I got a phone call some time back, and I've told the story, but maybe not to this audience. It was about a young man in the Cleveland, Ohio area where he was said to be into Satanism and that he wanted to talk to us. And so we drove clear up there and eventually met with the young man, began to talk to him, and he wanted to drive over to a church because he wanted to try to pray. So we got in the car and began to drive over. And this young man began to say, you know what he said? He said things like, you know what? I have all of the power that I need, and I have taken over other covens. And he said he's going to be the new satanic pope of America, and that he has women, that he's got money, that he's got power. He went on and on and on, and finally I couldn't take it any longer. So I looked in the mirror because I was driving, and I looked back at him, and I said, and I'll just call him Danny. That's not his real name, but I said, Danny, if you've got all this power and all these things and all this bright future that you're talking about, why did you call us to come here to Cleveland, Ohio? And all of a sudden his countenance went down. He looked in that little mirror and caught my eyes, and he said, because I have no joy. We got to the church building and he didn't want to go inside. So we sat on the grass on the outside and talked to him for some time. I can tell that he was somewhat reluctant, but I asked him, I said, Danny, do you want the living Christ to come into your life? And do you want the power of God instead of what you've got right now? And he shook his head, yes. And I said, Danny, pray out loud with me. And he began to pray, began to say, Lord. The moment he began to say, Lord Jesus, you know, soon as he said it, he was literally grasped by the throat and thrown to the ground. And he was choking and trying to say the name Jesus. Obviously, all of us recognized immediately it was a spirit. This is a young man that got into whatever kind of rituals he could. Whatever he can get his hands on, he tried out. And so he summoned the powers, and the powers came, and they came in him and on him. And now there was a power encounter, a struggle. He's on the ground and he can't speak. He's choking. So we simply commanded the spirit in the name of the living Christ, stop it, release him, get out. Probably within 30 seconds, all of a sudden, it was like just a snap. He was instantly released, and he cried out loud, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life. And I want you to know that all of a sudden, it was like there was an exchange of powers. There was a young man that his life was opened to one thing and given over to one thing and all of the things that he said that he had, but he didn't have what we were meant to have from the beginning. Listen, we were meant the imago Dei, the image of God. We were meant to bear the image of God. Now, obviously something's wrong. We talked about this last night on Monday night on the show. By the way, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. I want to say hello to a number of the friends out there that have written in from England and other places, and just say the Lord's blessing to you, and we appreciate all of you who listen. I do believe that it's probably a divine appointment for you, and that there is a supernatural providence involved in this hour. There's just simply no question about it. And so, whoever you are and wherever you are as far as listening, hang on. Even to those that monitor the show and those that are posing it. Now, some of you emailed me yesterday and said that all of a sudden the program went off about 20 minutes till, 15 minutes till, 10 minutes till. And I recognized on our side that everything went dead, you know, just about 10 minutes till. And I just talked to the program director, and Todd told me that yesterday everything went, all the electricity, all the computers, all of the system, and everything went offline. Every single thing stopped. And who knows the reasons why? Because I think that we were touching on here's a core issue. We're talking this week on the theme, the sin code, the genetics, or the predisposition within that opposes and wants to replace God. Where does that come from? Why do we have a Time magazine article and others in the 60s and later on that's God is dead? Why does Eric Von Däniken write a book, The Return of the Gods, small g? In the first two chapters, he dedicates shredding the Bible, shredding Christ, shredding everything about biblical revelation and what God is all about. And my friends, Eric Von Däniken is one of the most read authors in all the world. And there is a hostility that pours out in the first two chapters of that book, Return of the Gods. Now, he has a different belief system. He's got a pyramid on his property. He's into, well, many of you may know about Eric Von Däniken. He's been on other programs, and you might have read his books or seen the movie Chariot of the Gods. Is that really it? Aliens made us? Aliens dropped us off? Did they make a mistake? Are we just corrupted? Are we just genetic mistakes brought here by beings that have to fly around in ships? If you ask anybody in Roswell, they even crash. What's that tell you about the master alien intelligent race? What's that tell you about intelligent design? I don't know if we have thought through the concept that everything in UFOlogy, I just call it ufology, everything there, in every description, you can talk about Pleiadians and Greys and all the rest, in all the descriptions, we're clear. It's all about finite existence. Let alone the fact that nobody can really get a hold of it all. Let alone the fact that they're abducting people and kidnapping people, and that's crimes, man. They're, you know, if all of this is true about the abductees telling us about, well, they're being raped and sexually violated and fear and terror and all the things taken against their will, like a child kidnapped off the streets. What do we say about these aliens? And there's, you got to understand, among the New Agers, hundreds of millions worldwide, there is this belief that a communication is coming down and a spiritual planetary wave is coming. And when that spiritual planetary wave comes, it's going to usher humanity in a whole new, well, an evolution of human consciousness. And I agree that there is a spiritual wave coming, my friends, but it's not what they think. And we will see the fangs of this angel of light shortly. Now, quickly back to the story of Danny in Cleveland, Ohio. Young Satanist. Finally, the demons are kicked out of his life. He cries out, asks Christ to come into his life. Guess what occurs? I mean, we're talking to him. He's laughing. He's got tears in his eyes. We're, you know, sharing scripture with him. We're hugging him. We take him out to eat afterwards, and we're talking for an hour and a half. And finally, one of the staff members looks over and says, "Look, look." And we all looked at Danny. And it seemed as though his face was bright, almost like it was glowing. The countenance, joy emanated from his life. It was the radiance of Christ. The new birth takes but a moment as Christ comes in, grants the Spirit of God, brings forgiveness, gives a new nature, kicks out the, well, any spirits that have been once brought in. Now, I've got to see that kind of thing many, many times over in these years. Whether a person has demons or not, I've seen again and again and again by the hundreds and hundreds, and so many of those are one-on-one encounters where an individual does do what the Word of God says, calls on the name of the living Christ, and that living Savior comes in with power and life and new life and forgiveness and the gift, listen to this, of indestructible immortality. Now, I don't know who's listening tonight all over the place. And by the way, if you'd like to write in, sometimes individuals do, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. Shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. This week's theme, the sin code. Genetic predisposition to replace God, if not the concept of annihilating God. Now, I don't know if you realize in the Bible there's been two attempts at the annihilation of God. And there is a prophetic future event of one last attempt to annihilate God. And we'll take a look at that maybe later on, but for now, tonight, we're going to look at three things that we need to connect the dots from the Old Testament to parts of the New Testament, because it deals with the condition we live in, the ragged edge of this world. It deals with the realization that we have depression and loneliness, we have murder, we're listening today on the radio about home invasions. We're listening on the radio today about, you know, warning senior citizens around this city because there's individuals coming and claiming that they are contractors and that they would like to come in the house and look and give them an estimate about fixing things, and they're thieves and they're robbers, they're liars. You know, and it's kind of like the spirits, you know, as they come and have literally laid the foundations in the New Age movement and deeper and darker left hand, even down to the core European deep underground Luciferians. Some of which may be listening right now. Some of which may have done astral projection, remote viewing, whatever else it might be, to try to bring harm. That occurred last night. Strangest thing in the world. All of a sudden, I've only have a handful of people that have my cell phone work number. And I get text after text after text. Bizarre things. And it's coming from what we believe is a very demonized individual. And he's communicating what the demonic is saying. And so last night, you know what I did? I prayed in between the texts that were coming. I don't respond to them. But I prayed, and I prayed concerning some specific prayers that deal with ritual warfare. And after I got done and targeted some things, a text came in. You know what it said? It's right on my phone right here. It says, "We have been waiting for you." Let me tell you something, folks. In the world that we live in, there is an underground. There is a shadow government, no question. Shadow military, no question. Shadow religion, no question. All of the streams, these three streams, come from the same dark, dark pond. You've got to understand that there is a deep, passionate spiritual agenda. It's emotional. It's passionate. There is superhuman power behind it. Barring the presence of God Almighty dwelling in a person's life, you would be utterly vulnerable to the superior tactics, seduction, deception, engagement, influence, even the approach. I want to give you three connecting things tonight that deal with this issue of the sin code. Because you know what? Every single one listening right now, no matter what it is you're looking to, whatever you're studying, whatever your background, if you're a believer in Christ, if you're not, if you're into something else, listen, want to welcome everybody, and we want you to listen. We want you to engage. Because I can tell you right now, there will be a spiritual engagement directly during this hour. And as there's this spiritual engagement live around the world, as you're listening right now, because there is omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence. There is the infinite presence and awareness of God. Now, on the other side of the fence, there is also an awareness, an agenda, a presence, a power. Now, when we get to the factor of Satan himself, you know, in the Old Testament, as we get revelation about what's gone wrong with the world. Now, I'm going to touch on the three specific points in just a moment. For those coming in right now, 20 after 7, Tuesday evening in Eastern Standard Time. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. That is the central site. A lot of things on there for you to have, MP3s, free, all kinds of things, hundreds of things, as it's all connected to other sites, all of our other sites. And we want to announce that there is a 31 days ablaze, little 10, 15, maybe even 20-minute devotionals per day for the month of October coming up. Everyone, there's one new every day. And it's all about God changing our hearts, changing our lives, regardless of where you are as a believer in Christ, you know, about change and about allowing God's will to really come to fullness in our lives. And so you might want to check that out and take a listen. We also have a conference coming up in Mansfield, the 23rd, 24th, 25th. I was just invited today by an individual that wants to go down to the Mansfield Reformatory. Now, that's been on, it's been on television programs and some of the Ghost Hunter shows and some of the haunted places, scariest places in the world. And it's the old prison. Individuals go down and say they feel things and hear things and all kinds of stuff. And there are those that do, you know, they go down there to engage the spirits. Now, there were a lot of, in that prison, there were a lot of sexual predators that were at one time inmates there. When I was down there last June, and I met a Nigerian pastor and a researcher on revival when God strikes areas, what occurs, and another friend that is coordinating the conference called Demolishing Strongholds. Again, if you go to the site, shatterthedarkness.net, look up on the right-hand side, the top, click on there. There's an entire webpage, gives you all the information and a breakdown of some of the teaching that deals with spiritual warfare, prayer mapping, ritual warfare, other things like that. But I was told that the area, because when prisoners are released and they stay in the area and all, it is the sexual predator capital of the world. Now, I don't know if that's true, but I'm just saying that's what I was told by some folks that know what they're talking about, that work in the system. And I want you to know that when you think in terms of individuals that have attacked children, dragged them off, like this man in California that grabbed the little girl 18 years ago, kept her for all these years, sexually used her continuously, and then had children. And eventually now got found out, and they're finding bone chips, human bone chips on the properties. It's going to be ugly. Or you think of Roman Polanski that is, you know, fighting extradition from coming back to the United States. Listen, this is a guy that, you know, Rosemary's Baby, remember? Remember, I mean, when you're involved, like Kenneth Angler and others in these kind of films, and you do bring out some core, real, underground stuff, my question always is, where does that come from? How do they know this? Who's a part of that? Like the movie Eyes Wide Shut. Like the Latin that's done backwards in that ritual with the robed individuals. You ever look up the English words? Let me tell you something. Deep, dark rituals are like the satanic prayer meetings. You look in the book of Acts and you find chapter 4 where the believers sought God and sought power, and God came with power and filled them again, and even the physical building shook. Would to God that would be true in churches today. on the opposite side, do you understand that when they summon the dark powers come? The dark powers, the Bible even calls satanic power dunamis. Same word used in reference to God's power. One real finite power beyond human presence and power. The other infinite dunamis, infinite power, omnipresence, omnipotence, dunamis. Now, there's a vast difference. And the reason I'm spelling all this out and connecting things right now with, well, the you can call it, people call it the dysfunction of man. You know, why do the nations hate each other? You know, why racism? Why slavery? Why do individuals steal children and rape them and kill them and hurt them and bury them? Murder. I just heard today about a football player here in Cleveland that punched out another man. Now he's going to be in trouble. I mean, there's just simply evil, let alone the fact that in relationships, it doesn't always go well. And we get our hearts ripped out. We really do. And if you do not understand that we live in an abnormal, broken, fragmented world, that it's not what it was meant to be. It's the soul sorrow that we all experience that the apologist Edward Carnell calls, he calls it soul sorrow. He says all of a sudden with our minds and our hearts, we close our eyes and we dream of the ideal that we're healthy, that we don't die, that we live forever, that everybody loves everybody, that the world is in peace. That's the ideal. And then we open our eyes and we see reality. And guess what? Reality is that we do die and that we do get diseases and that we do age and that we do fight and that we do have losses. And he says when you take the ideal, what we wish it could be, and the real, what it really is, and put them together in your head, you're struck with what he calls soul sorrow. Some people can't understand why there is pain like this. And all of us understand what it is to weep, what it is to cry, what it is to hurt. And I'm going to tell you right now that it has everything to do with what occurs in Genesis chapter 3 in the beginning. We were meant to be eternal. We were not created with death code inside of us so that our physical bodies would wear out, die, and rot and be buried under the ground. We were not created to stab each other, curse each other, beat each other, build tribes and nations that would fight and slaughter and burn millions in ovens in Nazi Germany. We weren't made for this. We weren't made to all of a sudden have a relationship and have a marriage and have a family and all of a sudden it turns ugly and it splits everybody else up and everybody fights and bitterness sets in. We weren't made for all this. We're not made for all this. We were made in the beginning to bear the image of God with majesty, significance, and awe. We literally walk with God in a visible, physical way. There, in the sheer peace of a garden. But out of the heavenlies, a cosmic battle had already taken place. You could read about it in Isaiah chapter 14, where there is the exertion of sheer will. And when I tell you this, listen, it has everything to do with the sin code, the operating force in the heart of man that desires to push God off the throne, replace God, annihilate God, and become God. The sheer force of will for autonomy. Remember how I talked yesterday about a multi-million dollar super train and built and the tracks and it goes from one side of the country to the other. It's air conditioned. It has great food, you know, courts. It's in the incredible thing. It's an incredible thing. And when it takes off down the tracks, it is seamless. And it carries people to see the sights, to travel, to experience, until someone says, let's see how this thing does without the tracks. Let's pop the tracks. Let's drive over there in the rocks or down there through the swamp. Well, we already talked about it yesterday. You know that everything gets stuck. Everything stops. Everything changes. A train off the tracks. That's simple. Humanity was knocked off the track, but it involved a central encounter concerning will, and God set us up to win. God determined the perimeters of the battle, because we have a friend from England that's writing and yesterday and asking about, you know, how did this occur? And people simplify it by simply saying, you know, Adam and Eve and the apple. There's no apple. God set the perimeters of a known battle that it was coming our way. God determined where it would take place, and God gave us one verse, one word of God, one, that would have absolutely preserved the human race. No death, no sin, no rape, no wars, no disease, no pain. One verse, one word of God. God set us up, but we're created with finite free will. God didn't tie us up. God didn't blind us. God didn't, you know what? There was an encounter. It was real. Theologian Frank Stagg in New Testament theology calls it the fatal choice. You ever make one of those? You ever find yourself, and I did this once, just once, turned left, went down, started going down a road, and everybody's waving at me and yelling, I'm going down a one-way street the wrong way. And so that's somewhat what has occurred. Now we're on this, you know, direction, the human race, but going, well, it's more than just the wrong way. The nature of humanity changed in a concurrent moment. Listen, join us here in another minute or two. Let's listen to Steve and some news from InnerHealth. Hey, welcome back. This is Russ Dizdar. Listen, survivetothrive.net. And listen, do check out Inner Health, and we do appreciate that. In a day in which we live, there are so many things. Why is there imperfection? Why do people have so much greed? Why is there lies and injustice all around us? Well, again, because of this thing we call the sin code. A lot of people don't want to acknowledge it, though we have psychology and anthropology and sociology and criminology. I mean, we've got a problem. And we also die. We have thanatology. There's death and dying. You know, as a pastor for 30 years in four separate churches, I have done a lot of weddings. I've been around a lot of hospitals when babies were born. And I've done a lot of funerals with those physical bodies lying in the casket. And then they close the lid and then they bury it. Something happens at the moment of death, and I'm going to tell you right now, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that death is an enemy of God. It's an enemy. Considered the last enemy, death was going to be triumphed over. And so listen, if you're listening, and you've been thinking through, maybe you're spiritually questing and you're looking for some kind of answer. And maybe you've only had a light level, you know, Sunday school level of engagement with the church or Christianity. But listen, what I'm just simply speaking to you in this hour in which I believe God is summoning some of you and speaking to some of your hearts because of his omnipresence, because of his agenda, his will. Listen, unashamed to say this, God loves you. I love you. But God loves you. God seeks you. And listen, I want you to know something. I don't know if you've ever been wanted in life. But God wants you. That's about the will of God, the passion of God. And if you look back 2,000 years ago, the old rugged cross, Christ, all the prophets knew this is God in human flesh coming. Thomas finally knelt down and cried out, "My Lord and my God." The attributes of God in human flesh, but he's representing us. You ever read Hebrews chapter 2? Now, I know that Eric Van Doniken probably hasn't. I don't think he has. Because when I read his book, The Return of the Gods, for two chapters, he is unleashing some of the most vehement hatred and violence towards Christ, the Scripture, God. It's an amazing thing that a human being could be that angry, to have such a propensity, as I used the word yesterday, to want to oust God altogether. Listen, there are many individuals like that. And maybe you're listening tonight, and maybe you've had that in your heart, and maybe you're sitting back with a sneer on your face and kind of that little bit of a grin, looking for every kind of flaw you can find in me. Well, listen, you can find flaws in me. There's no question. It's Christ that many are afraid to look at. Now, I'm not talking about this dumbed-down, de-deified version that the New Age and others are trying to present, that you can't come to know, that's finite as those who present him. I'm talking about the real. This is Yahweh Adonai, Isaiah chapter 6, 700 years before God comes in human flesh. Now, tonight as we engage this subject, and we're on the second night of, or part two, of the sin code, genetic predisposition. Now, that involves what we talked about last night, phenotype and genotype. What do we mean by that? Now, many of you, probably much more learned than I am in the area of genetics, but what I do know is this, that phenotype is the observable characteristics, and genotype deals with the inherited instructions. And we were mentioning yesterday about children have genetics to learn. The genetics to walk, the genetics to speak, the genetics to grow. If everything's fine and everything's healthy, that's the direction they're going to go. So they're going to start talking and forming words and sentences, and they're going to ask why again and again and again. I had the greatest time of my life in the developing years of my daughter's life. Talking, explaining, teaching, interacting, and just loving that sweet little baby girl. And seeing her loved and protected and guarded. As a father, there's times I had to say, don't go out, you know, don't do that, because there'll be certain things that will harm you. There's no question when she was two, I'm not the smartest man in the world, but I want you to know that I was smarter than a two-year-old, more knowledgeable, more experienced. And so if my daughter just wanted to run out into the street in oncoming traffic because she's never experienced, she doesn't understand, of course, I'm going to say, not a possibility. Give her warning. Keep her from it. Stop her. And so I think that it's vital that we understand that God being infinite, you understand infinite? If you could take a backpack and begin to just track into God and keep going and going and going and going and going and going, you would never come out the other side. There is no other side. There's no perimeter to God. There's no back. There's no side. There's no top. There's no bottom. We're talking about sheer infinity. Infinite in personality. Infinite in love. Infinite in relational ability. Infinite in holiness. Infinite. And that's why in theology, we, you know, the three most known terms, omniscience, that means knowing all things, omnipresence, being everywhere, and omnipotence. But you've got to understand that in the context when God brings creation, we have human will. And when we're engaged, even though we know, listen, even before I came to Christ inside, the Bible talks about the law of God written in our conscience, our heart. That there is this moral code, this realization. Even Romans chapter 1 tells us that because of creation, God's divine power, his nature, there is intelligent design, and all of creation pours out speech and communicates that something bigger than the finite, no matter how big the universe is, no matter how old the universe is, no matter how vast it all is, something behind is bigger, broader, wider. So again, we're talking about infinite. And the reason I emphasize this tonight is because when we deal with the three passages I want to touch on, that comes right down into the nitty-gritty of our choices and what we experience. I mean, we have choices in life. Even the Bible says we reap what we sow. If you sow to the sin nature the old way, which I'm going to say is rooted in Isaiah 14. It's rooted in Ezekiel 28. Then we're going to reap, it says, destruction. The Bible says the wages, payments of sin, the wages of sin is death. You read Romans chapter 5 clearly, verse 12, for by one man sin entered, you know, the world. Death entered the world. And death passed among all of us, but it says because all have sinned. Now, it's very true where the sin nature, the sin code takes deep hold, which means when we give more and more yieldedness to the propensity, the purposes, the drive, the force of the sin nature, things go darker and that nature becomes stronger. That nature is described clearly in Romans chapter 8. We're going to get there in a moment. Don't go there yet. But I want to touch on three things, because it deals with Danny, the story of the young Satanist who was into all kinds of stuff. He was without God, without Christ, without, and in his fallen nature, seeking significance, seeking answers, he opened the door to even darker things and got possessed. Eric Von Daniken is one of the most read persons in all the world. And it's evident there is a great hostility towards God, towards Christ, towards the Word of God. And a desire to shred, rip God out of the consciousness of man and replace infinite presence God with, alien or mankind becoming their own God. And for all the geneticists out there, for all the physicists and theoretical physicists out there, listen. I want to ask you that if a question to think through, to theorize and work your equations. Can something finite evolve and become infinite? Can something that is known to have a beginning point, definitely, clearly, it is not omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, but can it evolve and become infinite? Can the finite become infinite? If infinite has no beginning, no ending, no top, bottom, side, back, front, and finite does have all of that, how do you erase the history of finite? How do you evolve? How does the finite, which is limited in every single concept, become unlimited? What would be the presence and power that would move it? But the issue is, can that which is finite, that had a beginning, that is limited, can it become what it never was? And yet in Isaiah chapter 14, we have this, in the Latin concept, Lucifer. God says, you said in your heart, now that center place of our being, there is the five I wills. There is the, and I'm telling you, this has everything to do with fallen human nature. Why a football player will punch another man in the face in the streets of Cleveland. Why a man will go out and snap, a movie producer and take a 13-year-old and give drugs to it, her and sexually rape and use and do everything to her and then run out of a country to be free and look for people that will cater to his atrocity. It's all about the will. You can't be human without the will. In the Greek New Testament, it's kardeia. The center, the seat, the emotions, the mind, the volition, it's all there. All unified, the center of you. You're engaged right now if you're listening. If you're listening later, in the archives, you willfully went and you downloaded and now you're listening. There's will engaged. Will can be stronger. Sometimes we can have intensity. We can really, really, really want something so bad we'll do anything to get it. And that's what we're seeing in Isaiah 14 when the fallen cherub, once anointed, who desecrated the sanctuaries, once walked among the fiery stones of God. Luciferians, listen. You can read about this in Ezekiel, where it just simply tells us that until wickedness or iniquity, a willful, strong, willful turning, a violent turning occurred, with the sheer total force of his being. The complete and total force of his being. He completely turned everything around from the inside out. God said, infinite God can read his heart. Infinite God knows what he's doing. Infinite God knows the depth of the will of the anointed cherub, that in a moment in the heavenlies shifted, transmuted. The genetics of the once anointed cherub changed forever. I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. Now I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. The finite said concerning the infinite, I will thrust you off your throne. I will replace you. I will take it. This is the place of the origin of sin. A willed ascent against everything that the anointed cherub was, perfect in beauty, everything else about him. All we know is in the bottom line, it started inside him. In this powerful, angelic, well, anointed cherub, a transmutation. If you think of it in the idea of genetics, I look at it like a match, one of those old wooden matches. You strike it and light it, and when it does burn and it's done burning, it's no longer the light-colored little piece of wood with the little blue tip. It's now black, burnt, curled, transmuted. He desecrated his sanctuaries. There was a disintegration. Jesus says of his nature, no truth resides in him. Father of lies. In the book of 1 John, father of sin. He'd been sinning from the beginning. And it involves, sin involves force of will. It's a will to oust God, replace God, exalt self beyond what is possible. When you connect this, and you can do this, connect this to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 2. In reference to fallen humanity, because in the garden there's no question something occurred. We know that in the heart of mankind, we wish we were better. We wish we'd all get along. We wish we didn't have to die. We wish there was no disease. We wish politicians would tell the truth. We wish corporations wouldn't cheat people. We wish. You know why? Because we know better. Because there is that sense of the imago Dei, of the life-giving freedom of that law of God that was written in the constitution of our very beings. Love people. Not hate people. Build people up, not tear them apart. Tell the truth all the time, never lie. Don't kill people. I mean, if you understand what we are made for, how far we've jumped off the tracks, how deep we are in the swamp, and we're still trying to make it go. We can come up with all of our own human-made things and our own, you know, religious things. The difficulty is we also opened a door. Just like Danny in Cleveland in his fallen nature opened a real door, called on real spirits, did real rituals, and real demonic force came into his life. Dark countenance, selfish, manipulative, boastful, proud. You see, when you read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, it says, right now where you're living, right now where I'm living, there is a, well, it says, prince of the power, the Greek word ruler of the domain of the air, the eros, the atmosphere, the dense atmosphere around the globe. And I wish Dean Radin and Gary Swartz out there and many others would understand, global brain, living consciousness, Akashic records, come on. There is a living grid of presence and power and force that emanates energy. And it is so thoroughly anti-God, top to bottom, side to side, front to back. You see, when you read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, you're reading about the prince of the power of the eros, the atmosphere that we're living in. He's called the spirit that now worketh. The Greek word deals with the idea of a supernatural operating presence that is operative in those, well, that have the disposition, the sin code, that predisposition to live against God. If you right now do not have God dwelling in you, Christ dwelling in you, the Spirit of God dwelling in you, I'm telling you that the sin code, a code that began in the heavenlies, out of the sheer force of will that we were engaged with, that we joined, we chucked God, believed alternative spirituality, believed the lie of a elitist spiritual evolution to deification. The promise of Genesis 3 was never fulfilled. The fallen, once anointed cherub, could not, and I believe he lied in the beginning, could not lead now fallen humanity to deification. The finite, whether it's the fallen cherub or you and I as a human being, cannot become God. God's too big, God's too vast, God's too beyond us. And he's too good. When you read Ephesians chapter 2, you're seeing about a real force operating in the world, but the operating platform, Romans chapter 8. Now listen, you might want to study Romans chapter 8 because we'll go digging into it on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. But it's about the sarx, translated in some places, the flesh. It doesn't mean physical flesh. It's about the sin code. I translate sarx in Romans chapter 8 as sin force. Those who live according to the sinful force that's within us. It's like within the genetics, we're animated. We are permeated with you can call it a virus, a presence. It's abnormal, but it's in the very depths of us that predisposes humanity to lie, to cheat, to oust God. That same presence that began in the heavenlies with sheer total force of will, that rebellion to oust God, curse God, remove God, replace God, is what the core of the sin nature is all about. You can read about it in Romans chapter 8. Matter of fact, do a little study tonight in Romans chapter 8, because we only have 3 minutes left, folks. My, how the time flows. You're going to read in Romans chapter 8 that the sin code force within fallen humanity permeates inside with hostility towards God. Doesn't want to submit to the rule and the reign and the presence of God. And when you are without God, when the sin nature, when the sin code, when this genetics of the fallen cherub is operating within us as the operating principle, the Bible calls it, the Holy Spirit calls it, the law of sin and death. Well, that's a platform for this spirit who is operative in the world. That's why there are millions falling prey to the angel of light masquerade of the New Age movement, of the ufology, of replacement spirituality, like Von Däniken. Let me ask you what's in your heart tonight. Because God wants to come dwell in your heart. He wants to break the sin code, its power, and put a new nature, a new life, a new operating power. You can read about it. Listen, if you're a quester spiritually and a researcher, take a look. Romans chapter 8. You're either in one circle or the other. In one, the operating force, Sarks, the sin code. An operative presence that is a platform for the prince of the power of the Eros, the air around. The operating force that's moving the world towards a globalism, a fake peace. Listen, deception brings destruction, but listen, life in Jesus Christ is right now available. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Come to the living Christ. We're going to share how he breaks the sin code tomorrow, gives us a new nature. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net, survivetothrive.net here on Tuesday nights. God bless you tonight. We'll see you tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.